Captain's log, stardate 50893.5. The Apocalypse Radio Trekcast is now nearing the end of this leg of its journey into the final frontier, and what better way to close this loop than by watching the 1996 box office hit First Contact, a film which perfectly captured the poise and restraint of Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, is that a Borg? Die, you cyborg son of a bitch!
Excuse me. As I was saying, Star Trek First Contact perfectly captures the elegance and diplomatic spirit of Jean-Luc Picard. I anticipate no issues on this assignment, and am confident that the screenwriters will continue the adventures of the Enterprise in the same diplomatic spirit of the show.
Oh, the Borg are back! Quick, grab a Tommy gun and follow me! We dine in hell tonight! Ah!
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Yes, I know. The Borg. Set a course for Earth. Maximum warp.
Now, in Earth's darkest hour, he must fight them again.
Captain, Earth. Life signs?
Population approximately 9 billion. All Borg.
How?
Time travel.
They went back and assimilated Earth. Changed history. I must follow them back. Repair whatever damage they've done.
But this time, they must travel to the past.
April 4th, 2063.
To save our future.
You're all astronauts on some kind of Star Trek.
They invade our space, and we fall back. They assimilate entire worlds, and we fall back. Not again. The line must be drawn here.
It looks like the control deck's 26 up to 11.
Mr. Data and I are returning to the ship.
Captain!
Data! We must activate the auto-destruct sequence.
You want to destroy the ship and run away, you coward.
If you were any other man, I would kill you where you stand.
Let's rock and roll!
Destroy them. Watch your future's end.
We've lost shields and our weapons are gone.
Resistance is futile.
Perhaps today is a good day to die.
Jean-Luc, blow up the damn ship!
No! We are not going to lose the Enterprise. Not to the Borg, not while I'm in command.
Star Trek, First Contact.
Welcome back to the Trekcast after a pretty long hiatus. We had a long summer. We had some Mario Brothers shenanigans, another Halloween passed us by, the fifth installment, if I'm not mistaken. So stuff's gone down in the world of Trek. I think, if I'm not mistaken, also, we're watching First Contact, and in the continuity of the series, it's been 6 years since the events. It's been 6 years since the Borg invaded.
I think Picard says 6 years ago I was Borged.
I guess I'm getting kind of into it too fast. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's something I should mention up top before we get into the discussion here in First Contact. Audience, we are recording inside of the Hilton Star Trek Experience Simulator. I bought this thing from a guy in Bartertown. I mean, obviously, the Hilton hasn't been around for years, but this guy had it. I plugged it in. It works. We watched the First Contact movie through the simulator. It was pretty awesome. I mean, the ambiance alone in here is pretty great.
The replicator food is great. I'll say that.
That was an added bonus. I didn't think we were going to get a replicator.
The live wire tasted just as radioactive from the replicator as it does from our store.
So, yeah. So just keep that in the back of your mind, audience. We're recording inside the Hilton Star Trek Simulator, the Star Trek Experience. It's pretty cool. I honestly think it made the movie a little better. Anything would, but I feel like I've talked about this movie before on other podcasts. I enjoy it, but this is a first for someone here.
Yeah, have we introduced ourselves yet?
I know, there's all this preamble. I'm rusty. I'm sorry.
It's been a long time since you were on the ship.
It is, yeah. Well, the problem is, we talked about this before, when you're on the Enterprise, those tan carpets really, like, mellow you out. You get a little sleepy. I just got so relaxed, I forgot how we introduced the show.
Understandable. Yeah,
that's got to be the number one problem on the Enterprise.
Too comfy.
Too many people falling asleep at their posts.
That's why they changed the lighting so drastically for the movies. We can't do any more warm lighting.
I'm your host and Captain Dave. I'm joined again, of course, by Michael.
Earth, population 9 billion, none human.
I'm also joined by First Officer Jackie.
Assimilate this!
Definitely a big turn that this movie takes from the last movie and just Star Trek The Next Generation in general, the vibe. So, as I mentioned earlier, vibe. This was a first for one of us. Does that person want to reveal themselves now?
It was a first for me.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
which is interesting because in reading about this, one of the big things about it apparently was, so it came out in 96, so I would have been susceptible to this. Apparently it had the biggest marketing push any Star Trek movie had had since the motion picture.
And a video game.
Yeah, there was like video game. I think there's multiple video games.
Oh, cool.
Although they all sound insane. But yeah, there's like, you know, I don't know if there was like a Happy Meal situation because that seems weird, but I wouldn't, you know, from reading about it, it seems like that kind of level of like, we're going all out. This is going to be a blockbuster.
I could buy that. I mean, when you watch the movie, this movie is essentially Star Trek meets Aliens, right? The James Cameron Aliens, kind of.
Sort of. I mean, there's a queen and et cetera.
Like Borg soldier, like mindless character, like, you know, soldier type warrior things. I guess aliens aren't warriors, but you know what I'm getting at. Like disposable things that you can just kill a bunch of them.
Sure. I think there's also the comparison to be made between Alien and Aliens jumping from straight sci-fi to action, as well as Star Trek.
It seemed like this movie
wanting to be an action movie.
Yeah, it seemed like the kind of thing where, like, I imagine this came from like a boardroom of like, okay, we're gonna make the first Star Trek Next Generation only thing. What's like a big cool thing people love? The Borg, right? Oh, the Borg. Like,
this wasn't the first purely Next Generation movie, was it?
It was.
No, what about the one?
Well,
with,
I mean,
Star Trek Generations has like William Shatner in it.
But when does
in that respect, it's almost like this is like the one where they're like, okay, we're not going to rely on the training wheels, so to speak, of the original crew. We're not going to rely on that. It's just the Next Generation crew. Can they hold a movie on their own?
Yeah,
and
like,
this was, I think this was the highest grossing Star Trek movie since Voyage Home.
Oh, it did well.
Yeah, like,
oh yeah, it did really well.
It was did the best until like the 2009 movie, I think. Like the highest rated or something, which is funny.
Even better than Star Trek V?
So Mike, this was your first time. As we've been saying, this is Trek going into action. You could argue that Trek has dipped its toe in action in previous movies, but this one is straight up an action movie. We get sleeveless Picard, we get a tank top wearing Picard. Yeah. You know, with they literally have like rifles.
They're trying to make him into
rifles.
Like Bruce Willis.
Very much so.
And I just.
Now, so I think we can guess how Jackie feels, and I kind of feel the same way. It's an enjoyable B movie, in my opinion. But Michael, your first time, you didn't even know that time travel was involved in this movie going in. What was your overall vibe of this movie?
I was hoping when time travel was introduced that we were gonna see like Earth, 1970s, San Francisco.
Good and news, like, though, there is another film you can see for those things.
No space whales in
there
this.
There were no space whales in this.
Oh, how far we've come. it's definitely like I agree with everything you were saying. It's for sure an action movie. I don't think it was like bad. I don't know if it would be interesting if you didn't. No, like if you weren't a fan of Next Generation, would you like this? I don't think so.
Probably not.
And I think it's like, it kind of skirts by on the like likability of the cast and the actors, but the movie itself is like, it's definitely, it feels like it's made by a totally different team than, which I don't think it was, which is interesting, but it doesn't feel recognizable as like, the storytelling of the Next Generation. And a lot of times those characters don't feel like those characters. I mean, it's not like they never feel like them, but a lot of times they don't feel like quite the same. Picard especially.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't discussed this episode, but there's an episode called Hugh, I believe. Is that the name of the episode?
Yeah.
Where they find a crashed ship. There's a bunch of dead Borg, but one of them survived. They take it aboard the Enterprise and they basically nurse it back to health. And throughout the episode, Picard's like, would it be possible to implant a virus in this Borg? When he returns to the Borg, he kills them all. Yeah, we could do that. Great. Then some stuff happens. He talks to it and he actually changes his mind. He's like, you know what? Yes, they are our enemy. Yes, they are a race of like literal robots that steal everyone's individuality and whatnot.
The genocide is never excusable.
Yes. He's like, they may be our enemy, but genocide is not cool,
man. I cannot do a genocide. Also, the show, I feel like, across several different series, makes the point again and again that, like, you can be deborged. Like, it's actually not a death sentence, and actually there's a lot of power in the, like, all of those kind of episodes and characters that get into, like, I'm trying to, like, live as a person again after being assimilated.
And maybe it's, like, really hard to deborg people right now, but I feel like the theme of the show would be like, instead of killing the Borg, like let's put our resources into that and like helping the Borg, like, you know, stop being, you know, doing what they're doing that's antagonistic.
Star Trek is a talking show. Picard would want to talk to the Borg.
Yeah, this
not
is
blow
like,
him up with,
I don't know if he says
guns.
This, but there's definitely the vibe in this one of like, kill them all.
Well, it's like, yeah, like there's even points that basically I think my main problem with this movie, like I enjoy this movie. When I watch this movie, I kind of have to get into a different mindset. Like I get into the mindset I'm in when I watch something like Rambo or something like this is just, you know, dumb action.
But even
you know, there's not really
Rambo. The first movie is about a veteran coming home and being completely disenfranchised by the very government and society that sent him to war and got him all fucked up. And then as soon as the sequels kick in, it's all about,
yeah,
like, what if we shoot guns? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
it's the, like, the, you know, action movieization of any concept that just will like, you know, even the case with Alien and Aliens, which I really like the movie Aliens, but Ripley in the first movie is not brandishing machine guns and calling queens bitches.
She's kind of, yeah, I mean, she's really just like, I mean, she's, I forget what her rank is in that. I think she's like second in command in Alien 1, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or something?
Well, something like that, but which is not to say that, you know, action is bad or that it's always bad to do that, but it's, you know, it's telling a different story than a lot of the kind of ideas and origins that it takes from. And it's, I think, in part, definitely like a profit-minded driven thing of like, well, we can appeal to, you know,
broader audiences
if we have like this, you know, the guns or like the gore or whatever, you or like the action, blah, blah, blah.
I think some of it, too, is like, especially back then, could have been a mindset of like, a little bit of like TV embarrassment. Like, we can't just do the TV show. Mm. We have to do something different. This is a movie.
It's a movie.
We're in a new class, and we don't want some boring talking, but you, like, know, the, you know, diplomat movie.
A movie could totally be like an episode of Next Generation. Like, Arrival is totally like, you know, tweak that a bit. That could be an episode of Next Generation.
Throw
it's that
Captain
kind of
Picard in Arrival. He's helping Amy
Arrival
Adams.
Arrival works very well, and it did well,
this has
I
been
think.
Said before, but the best... I honestly feel... I agree with this statement that the best of both worlds two-parter would have made a great Star Trek movie.
Oh, yeah.
Could have, yeah.
It's got action. It's got high-minded Star Trek stuff, you know?
I don't think you could have released it as is, because it definitely, like...
Well, no, it would take some little tweaking to bring it up to a movie status.
Yeah, but that story.
But it has, yeah, like, the stakes for something
like
that.
You could have put in the action stuff in a way that would have kind of made sense, because it was, like, unusual that they were doing it, but,
you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, all of this to say, and also, I think a lot about the, you know, action movie sequel pattern of a lot of different things was, like... Also explicitly, like, it's the 80s, Reagan's president, you know what rules? America and its guns. And it's like these two, you know, inextricable things that does make me, like, resent a lot of action movies, even though I enjoy a lot of them, and I like big, dumb fun and guns, too. It's fine. But, you know, a lot of times I'll just look at that and be like, not today, Reagan.
That's your review of First Contact made in 96.
I mean,
not today, Reagan.
I'm sorry, but his hideous reign continues to bleed into pop culture.
His, yeah, especially like, I gotta imagine they had to reverse engineer like the whole scene in the holodeck with
that
Captain
was...
Picard grabbing a Tommy gun and somehow gunning down a Borg. Like, I gotta imagine in a boardroom someone's like, can't we just give him a gun? I mean,
oh,
I know it's
yeah.
the feature and
that's
it's lasers,
totally...
but how cool would it be to have him shoot a
and
gun?
Then the,
that's
like,
totally studio executive. Like, what if he's like a Tommy gun?
The after the fact, Lily is like, something says something about like holographic bullets, and Picard is like, oh, I disarmed the like safety protocols, like, which means you can shoot real bullets?
That's always been a big question mark
oh
with
my
the holodeck.
Why would that be an option?
Why would that be an option?
And like, the thing that's wild about that scene is like, not just that he, I'll like grant you like Picard shooting the Tommy gun maybe in this situation, but the way it's played, it's like,
where he's like losing his mind,
yeah, he's
with,
like,
bloodlust.
Like, you gotta drop in the clip here, Chad, but he's like screaming in like, it's like, that's like full Rambo he's going.
Yeah.
I think you got him.
That's wild to me, and that is something
that
is,
just, it's
like,
very
a little jarring.
Out of character, even
yes.
with the, you know, proposed his arc, which I still don't really like that much, of like, he's so overcome with the need for revenge that he'll fucking Ahab himself on this ship, and it's like, sure, okay, would he be out there like, rah! I don't,
it's almost
I feel
like
he wouldn't.
I would... I mean, I get that he had a traumatic experience, but that was a long time ago, and like he has had like history with the Borg since then.
Exactly. Like, what?
Yeah. And he's grown, you
and
know?
I think, to be
what
clear,
has happened
like,
recently that he's like, I have to, I'm going to make them pay.
I think like it is okay too if it's totally different. Like, if it's like, fine, in this movie he's like a different character, I'm not like, well, that's not my Picard. But like, that other thing that it's supposed to be is not that interesting. And like, I almost feel like they were, if they were going to go that direction, that was like too constrained. Like, just make him insane. Like, make him Ahab. Like, where he's like whittling like a Borg like figurine in his cabin, you know, just like he's obsessed with this, or like he's looking at his old like Locutus headset or something. Like, I think where they're left with is like this character that's just like doing lip service to being like this smart guy, but in reality doing like an action scene. It's kind of half-assing both.
It's almost like I would have bought this type of Picard if the enemy had been Cardassians. Because, again, we haven't talked about this episode on the show either.
He gets tortured for, like, weeks.
Yeah.
Not months.
Like, dehumanized and, like, just completely brought down to the lowest level. And I'm like, and that was, there's never an episode after that where it's like, you know what, I've made peace with the Cardassians. No, it's like, no.
That episode, like, really sits in, like, how upsetting this is. And then it's, then, you know, we're like, no, but it's the Borg that he wants to kill them all.
It's like, I get that. I mean, from a business standpoint, I get that the Borg are the flashier villain. It's like, ooh, cool. Like zombie robot looking things.
They are cool looking.
They're super 90s. They're very cool. They totally fit in with all these 90s, like cyber movies. Mm-hmm. We've seen like Johnny Mnemonic and The Matrix and all that.
Well, yeah, and the whole concept of like it's the organic with the technology, and as the Borg Queen says, like, we endeavor to become better, and you should let us make you better. And I do really like the Borg Queen. I love how creepy and slimy she looks. her whole thing of like wanting to fuck Data, I guess, is was a little weird. For me, we can also just talk about the plot, by the way. I realize that
we should get into the plot before we get any further. Yeah,
because we also need to talk about our man James Cromwell, who steals the show. So let's get into it.
Well, Mike, let's see what you've learned on your mission here.
I was hoping you weren't going to pick me. the thing is, this movie like kind of just goes like it.
Oh yeah, it starts and we're in it. The Borg right are here.
I do appreciate that.
It pacing wise, it reminds me almost of like an episode of the original series. But yeah, so we open with the Borg are invading Earth essentially, and it's like a weird. This is a weird opening, right? Like I'm not. I feel like I'm not crazy for thinking this is
the
like
a nightmare opening.
The nightmare. Wait, I thought the nightmare was after the Borg invasion. Does the nightmare start?
No, the nightmare opens the movie. We get the credit sequence and then it opens with him, like his eyeball.
It's Picard himself, like in the giant cube, like a big zoom out of all the Borg. And then it's like, he wakes up, quote unquote, and then like, you know, does the classic look in the mirror. Oh no, it's Borg me. And then he actually wakes up.
And that like is basically, I assume there to like be like, remember he used to be
Borg. Remember he got Borged? He was Locutus.
He got Borged.
Remember Locutus of Borg? Remember that?
And tantalizingly is almost feels like it's showing scenes of the movie we could have had this been the two-parter.
That's the thing. And if it were even just like a psychological drama about Picard like and his PTSD, I would be way more interested in that, because that would still, I think, be along the lines of like, let's talk it out.
Because this isn't the kind of thing where we're getting like reoccurring dreams or anything, right?
No, it's just that
this
beginning
theme
bit.
Is not like expanded on.
Like that would have been again. I feel like they had ideas, and they had these episodes. What could have been a good Borg movie in the show already? Like the idea of like, hey, we can take out our mortal enemy, but it would be genocide. And then you could have a good Star Trek big moral quandary there.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of the good, I feel the best Borg stuff they did in the show already. Like, I have to divorce myself from my love of The Next Generation when I watch this movie, because, as we've said, Picard is a completely different character in this. And, I mean, I guess I'm getting a little off track from the plot synopsis. But, Mike, did you want me to take over that? You seemed like you were like, don't want to do it.
Do it, but okay. There's something big. I like a problem I had with this movie.
There's a lot of problems, but anyway.
What's your
all right.
Problem?
No. Dave, oh, okay. Please talk about the
movie. All right, well, it's been 6 years since Captain Picard had been kidnapped and assimilated by the Borg. He's haunted by his memories of it. And then, wouldn't you know it, we get a transmission, hey, the Borg are invading.
Hey!
Hey, the Borg are invading.
Also, because we get, you know, the random, like, DS9 cameos and stuff. We should also note, it's been 6 years since Benjamin Sisko's wife was killed.
That too, so. Yeah, Benjamin. And that could have been a thing too.
No, this movie could have had Sisko.
Sisko could have come in and been like, because he didn't like Picard.
Yeah,
that would have been really interesting.
I'll
but
imagine
it
them
do
butting
it.
Heads. Anyway, it's fine. It's fine.
That could have been very interesting. Two different ideologies, but anyway, 6 years. Hey, the Borg are invading, and then inexplicably, the Federation's like, "All right, Picard, you're our best captain.
You're best
commanding
ship.
Our best newest ship. Go over to the neutral zone. The Romulans might be starting some shit over there, possibly."
Go
and everyone's
do...
like, "What?
It's so bizarre.
Like rent a cop day shift," and they're like, "What?"
I hate being like the guy who's like, "Well, this doesn't make sense, like Kozak's," but like it's
it really doesn't
sometimes sometimes it is so bizarre that it's like it's almost like, and it's so early on, it's like, okay, so like this is how it's gonna be, like, yeah. The rest of them, like, this is kind of the level the movie's
now we got rule
on.
Breaker Picard, well, who was, yeah. They established this dumb order and dumb
it's
rules just so we could
it's
break
so insane
it
because it is they established it's their best ship and like the fate of humanity is at stake, that they wouldn't just be like, even if they don't trust Picard, that they wouldn't be like, hey, we're sending someone to switch places with Picard. Picard, yeah. You're going home.
Or, like,
we're not just going to sit on the best ship we have.
They would have the ship and they'd say, like, Picard, stand down. Like, that would be it. And
yeah.
He,
Riker, you're doing this one.
And he would even probably be like, you know, even if he hated it, he would still probably be like, okay. But or at least show Picard would.
Yeah, it's baffling. Honestly, I think the only reason this is in the movie is, like you said, so that Picard's like, I'm disobeying a direct order.
I'm
so
a bad
he can
boy.
Appear cool. But it's so stupid because they get the order, they have one scene where Picard's listening to opera music, and then the next scene is, let's listen to the broadcast of humanity getting just
we
blasted.
Get that, no, we get that great scene, which is, like, again, like, so out of character for Picard, where they're talking about, like, so what we've reported is, like, and he starts saying, like, these interesting scientific findings, and Picard's like, yeah, whatever. Like, I forget his exact response, but it was so, like, that's not. Picard would be like, well, that is fascinating. Our attention must be turned out, you know, like, he's like, whatever. Thanks.
I
want to
go shoot a gun.
Where's my gun?
Oh, fascinating. 20 particles of space dust per cubic meter. 52 ultraviolet radiation spikes and a class 2 comet. Wow, this is certainly worthy of our attention.
Oh, I did love him blasting that opera, though. He would.
Was so moody.
How weird would it have been if he was playing like death metal or something? Yes. This is how I relax, number one.
Riker comes
Let's
in.
Get It On by Marvin Gaye.
Riker comes in, like, knocking on the half open door, like a dad, be like, "Hey, buddy, what's going on?
He was a skater boy. She said, 'See you later.'"
Close the door,
boy.
Number one.
But anyway, they hear the broadcast. Earth's getting their ass handed to them. So Picard's like, you know what? Let's just go back. Who cares?
Let's do it. And we get some cursing data, which is, you know, always a little thrill. What does he say? It's like, to hell with their orders.
Lieutenant Hawk, set a course for Earth.
Aye, sir.
Maximum warp. I'm about to commit a direct violation of our orders. Any of you who wish to object should do so now. It will be noted in my log.
Captain, I believe I speak for everyone here, sir, when I say, to hell with our orders.
Yeah, they go back, and then I guess through some sort of like intuition, like, because he had been plugged into the Borg previously, he knows exactly where to shoot their one ship that they sent to invade humanity.
Like the Borg whispers in his brain.
Yeah.
And sure. Yeah, okay. For some reason, that's... Did we ever find out if, like... I mean, it's nothing. I know it's literally just written in for the convenience of it all. But, like, was that done on purpose by the Borg to, like, get him to I don't know,
well,
red herring
or
something? Or was it accidental?
Yeah, I mean, we can get into that in a minute. Let me finish off the synopsis here. There's not much left. That you are touching on a very big plot hole in this movie, in my opinion.
Oh, one of many.
But anyway, he's like, fire all your weapons on this exact point. It'll blow them up. They do it. The ship blows up. And then the Borg cube shoots out a smaller sphere that then goes back in time.
Just as you do.
Yeah, it goes back in time. And then suddenly Earth changes and it's all Borg now.
It's been assimilated Borg in the past, which then Borgs it in the future.
Yeah. I guess. But thankfully, the Enterprise was on their tail and they got caught up in this temporal wake, like a little wave, like a time travel wave that allowed them to not feel the effects of the time change. So now their new mission is, all right, we have to follow them back into the past, destroy them so that we can preserve the future.
Un-Borg everything. And wouldn't you know it, it's the day before first contact.
It's like, I think it's 2063, I believe is what they say. It's a missile complex. And this is kind of, this isn't a plot hole. This is just a point of the movie that's kind of like, like, Voyage Home was fun because it was modern times. Like, oh, it's our fun. It's these characters we've watched for years and they're interacting with us and it's goofy.
Yeah, this is imagine like, if Spock was on the bus with a punk.
Exactly. Whereas with this, it's like, oh, it's the future, I guess. But it's basically just like in the woods somewhere at a missile silo. And it just...
Everyone's just wearing a coat.
Coats are big in 2063.
It's not fun. You know what I mean? Like, time travel stuff is usually fun. This is just sort of whatever.
It wasn't even like a burned out city or something. Like, no. There was no
it was like fairly normal, but just like in the woods.
There's no touchdown we have to like connect it to like.
They say, I think they say 10 years after the Third World War, but you're like, this is just in the woods. Like, there's no burned out cities. It's like, well, Anyway. Again, not a plot hole, just sort of
But that's where we're building, you know, a spacecraft that will get to warp speed.
And it's not even, you know, I'm sorry to harp on this, but, like, it's if you're going to go compound, fine. But it's not even, like, a very, like, cool, interesting set or anything.
They've got, like, two buildings made out of, like, scrap metal.
It feels like... It feels like part of the show that's like cheap. Like
most of it feels like they spent most of their budget on the special effects, which admittedly are really good. They hold up
stuff with
a lot
the Borg
of
looks
good
really
model
good.
Work here.
Mm-hmm. The Borg
and obviously
better.
A lot of Borg costumes and whatnot. But they find out that the Borgs, I guess their plan all along? Was to go right up to Earth, have their ship blow up, but then send a smaller ship to go back into time to stop first contact, thereby eliminating the Federation before it begins, I guess, is their plan.
Sure. Yeah.
But also, also, there's a Borg queen we find out, and I guess she also wants to get laid with Data.
She's evil and horny, and she wanted Picard 6 years ago to be like her equal, her liaison, her right-hand man, whatever.
Which completely changes like the nature of what we know as the Borg too. It's like, why would they need a liaison? They just assimilate everything.
I believe the word you're looking for is boo.
Oh yeah, that's what she wanted, a boy toy. he's just talking shit about giving him a job. We'll touch on the Borg Queen a little bit more. Her like whole like design, especially when we first see her, of like this slimy, like almost reptilian looking like head that's like attached shoulders and just a creepy spine that they're just floating
very
down
RoboCop.
From the ether, and it is very RoboCop, and of course she's got titties, as any good queen would. The Borg care about that, I guess. But yeah, it's kind of weird how sexual her whole thing is.
Yeah, watching it as a dumb action movie, it's fun, but as a Star Trek movie and as a continuation of the Borg, you're like, this makes no sense.
Her character is one of the things that makes me think this feels closer to the original series rather than Next Generation. Like, her character, I could see being in the original series.
Yes,
in
an she would slither out.
Yeah, 100%.
She'd slither out, and, like, Shatner would be like, I see. And then, like,
Shatner eventually would
fight
like,
fuck.
Yeah, and but eventually Shatner would be like, no. And then there'd be like a thing where she stands in place and there's like a mirage effect and she turns into like a reptilian like lizard. It's like,
yeah, something like that.
This is what I look like all along.
Actually, I was gross.
Her, what's the, isn't it like the pilot where it's like, behold, I'm actually 40.
Oh, yeah.
Bones, if I may,
she's a handsome woman,
but clearly not 40.
Yeah, that's the worst a woman could be, is over 40. but you're right. It feels like a weirdly TOS beat in the show. When we get to Earth in the past, that's when we meet Dr. Zefram Cochran.
Played by James Cromwell, James Cromwell is one of those actors that's like always reliably good.
Oh yeah. He's 10 feet tall. He's got a great voice and you can put like, cause he's shown up in like other Star Treks before as just like day
he's
player
been in TNG.
Type
yeah.
stuff. Because yeah, you could put like that's some right, prosthetic yes. on him, put like whatever you want. This guy's going to do it. And he's going to look cool.
Dave, have you seen Succession?
I have not, no.
He's a recurring.
He's like one of the family members.
He's yeah.
Oh wow.
He's like the patriarch's cool. brother.
Yeah, the patriarch's okay. Estranged brother, and he shows up like he'd show up like a couple times a season.
I wouldn't
season.
Say he's like a main character, but he's one
he's
of
recurring.
The main like background characters. Yeah,
and,
recurring. He's a recurring
in like
character.
The final season, he has this moment where he gives like a speech.
He basically he's the guy who like at the one of the episodes towards the end like summarizes like this is what the show has been about.
Yeah, this is who my brother. Is speech. And this is what the show's about. Anyway, great actor, always has been. This is this movie's after Babe, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 year later, I think.
Oh, wow. See, he was always working. He was always just like doing the shit. I love his big silly coat and his stupid hat.
Oh yeah, that hat. What is that?
So
hat?
Dumb. I love it. Ugh.
I love the subplot that he's an alcoholic.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of weird. It like doesn't really go anywhere. Like, isn't it? There's no real like.
No, there's not
resolution
like,
with that, is there?
No, but I do just like that as like color on the character because the rest of kind of like his thing is all of these characters from the future being like, you are so important and you're a visionary and you're this, and he's like freaking out about that because of all that pressure. Like the pressure alone would. Freak anybody out, but also like you're actively an alcoholic and you're like, what if I could really fuck this up?
Yeah, it's almost like they shouldn't be violating the Prime Directive right now.
Anyway, yeah, maybe they shouldn't have said all that stuff to this guy.
Yeah, maybe it's gonna freak him out.
And he does, you know, overcome it, but I like that as like, you know, a detail of like, of course, every historical figure we've ever learned about had a human life that was probably like full of ugly stuff and, you know, whatever. And that's the kind of stuff they're not going to write at the foot of his marble statue. But it was probably true of like, this guy had a drinking problem or like this guy beat his wife.
I've
or
sent
stuff
out so
like
many
that.
Problematic tweets.
This guy's Twitter was oof, bad.
Well, his ex was so bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, his exes. Yeah, I don't remember what, I don't even know what a tweet is.
Oh, God. The other character who I don't think the movie does a huge service to, but I always like seeing her show up, is Lily, the Alfre Woodard character.
Oh, yeah. She's another reliable, actor.
Always showing up, and you're like, oh, hey, it's her. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
She looks so gorgeous in this movie.
Is she the girl with him?
Lily, like, yeah, who Picard ends up palling around with. But I love
the romantic interest.
Ish. But I like when she and Zefram are first introduced, where he's like blackout drunk and like trying to go back for more. She's like, no, come on, dude. We're trying to do this like launch tomorrow. You got to get your shit together. And he does,
We're gonna make first contact.
That's not in the cards yet. They don't know they're gonna make first contact. They're just testing this warp drive.
But it's also, you know, a big deal, and she sees her like friend and comrade, and she's just like, really, dude, like you're a mess. Like you have to get your shit together. Because we're doing something serious right here.
Yeah, this is where the B plot begins, because before the Borg, basically, like, they follow the Borg back in time. The Borg starts shooting down at the missile silo. They damage the ship, and the Enterprise is able to destroy the Borg sphere. But now it's like, okay, the B plot begins. We got to go down and help them fix the warp ship. Otherwise, yeah, the Federation's not going to come into being.
We get that great, like, it's just a time travel trope that I really like when, it's always silly, but I always really like it. When Picard is like, what is the date? Data, tell me the exact date. And it's like,
how do they
well,
know that?
It's blah, 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 blah. Tomorrow's first contact.
It's, well, if I recall, like, in Voyage Home, the way they determine the date is based on the pollution, I guess. I guess the pollution is an accurate gauge of the time.
Yeah.
They were able to get like radiation, and I bet that dissolves in like a certain way.
Oh, well, sure. The like same with kind of how they measure like fossils and stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of that
carbon
age date. Yeah.
They're
so okay, let's say they did that, and it's the day before first contact.
Yeah. I mean, I feel I buy it a bit more in Voyage Home because it's less exact. It's like Spock says the latter half of the 20th century. It's like, sure. Okay. Whereas Data's like, I can give you the exact date, time. Do you want Greenwich Mean Time? What do you want, Captain?
Maybe Data's able to take in a bunch of different points of
that's
information.
True.
Yeah, Spock wasn't an android. He was just a smart guy.
Like, that's Data's like, maybe he's looking at both the radiation and like pollutants and like able to read like the satellite imagery for like heat in areas of the planet.
Uh-huh.
That's true. Spock was Spock, but Data's Data.
And Spock also had just come back to life and gotten all like most of his memories back. So
that's
like
true.
Cut him some slack.
He was a little rusty. I can get you the latter half of the 20th century, Captain, but
something
that's as
like
good
that.
As I can get it.
I don't know, Jim. Probably latter half 20th century. What do you want from me?
So that's the B plot. The A plot resumes again when we realize that, before the ship was destroyed, the Borg's beamed over. And now, like Alien, they're setting up their own habitat in engineering.
I guess that's, I didn't connect that with what you're saying about Alien, where that is the setup, huh?
It's played so differently. Like, this whole Borg stuff on the ship is weird. Like, how, like, kind of like lackadaisical both the Borg and the people on the ship seem to be about the fact there's Borg on the ship.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like eventually, like, we're one step away from them both like taking smoke breaks together.
I'd love that.
Yeah, they calmly walk down to engineering where the Borg threat is.
All the time, the Borg are calmly just walking around. And, like, there's that one scene in...
Borg love to walk.
When the Borg first show up ever in the show, there's kind of something they're doing like that. And they set up that, like, the Borg is, like, they're calm. But it's, like, menacing in that show where it's, like, they're calm because, like, they know they don't see you. Like, the comparison is, like, would you be afraid of an ant? Like, they just don't even care. But this one, to me, it feels like...
The scenario is different.
Yeah, and the Borg, like, don't quite have what they want yet, so I feel like they're kind of, like, they just strike me as, like, everyone be cool.
Well, and also, they're on board the ship that destroyed their ship, so clearly they're a threat.
it's just really weird.
They're all carrying huge guns, but...
Yes.
At the very least, they're, like, the fact they seem disinterested does not read as, like... cold or like threatening.
It just reads as like doing a video game and getting to like the blind spots of like the
like
mini
a Metal Gear
or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I did use the box, so they can't see us. Picard and Lily just under some cardboard boxes.
And this is kind of the rest of the movie, yeah. Like when they go down to investigate the damage on the Phoenix, like Lily ends up getting hurt. They beam her up to the Enterprise to check her out, to get her up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then begins the rest of the movie. Lily pairs up with Picard. They're kind of like they're going through air vents and this and stuff, evading the Borg and.
Going to the
holodeck, and meanwhile, the rest of the crew is like, you know, going back and forth trying to fight the Borg, and then you have the stuff going on in the planet, and that's the movie. And again, like, taken for what it is as a dumb action movie, like, there are some pretty good action sequences in this. My favorite being when they're walking on like the outer hull of the ship, like in outer space. Like, it's dumb, but it's really fun. And it still looks good, in my opinion.
Yeah, Worf
as far
chops
as, like,
the guy's
visual
arm
effects.
Off.
Oh, yeah. When Worf reappears having, like, tourniqueted his spacesuit with a Borg yeah. cord with a hand still attached. It was pretty baller. I also like that he gets to shoot a gun and say, assimilate this. Mm-hmm. I do love that for Worf.
Assimilate this.
Worf, I was going to say that. I'm the captain. I get all the best
I
lines.
Told you I was going to say that cool line. Get from me, Worf.
I told you when get we were walking down ship. To engineering. I want all the one-liners. That's, I'm the captain.
That's the real reason why he blows up at Worf at the end.
Yes. You stole all my best lines, Dorn. Worf.
Is it not enough that you're so tall and handsome?
I know what you look like out of that makeup.
I know what you look like under the prosthetics, Dorn. You're extremely good looking.
Well, I'll say this, though. It's not Worf in the tank top at the end. It's Patrick Stewart, so and he got the last laugh.
It's not to say that Patrick Stewart, like, looks bad in the tank top, but he looks so much better right before that with, like, the red shirt, like, half zipped down with, like, the sleeves
yeah,
rolled
agreed.
Up.
Agreed.
Way sexier. I appreciate that they're all wearing, like, that era of like, Starfleet uniforms where there's, like, a lot of layers to take off. It works thematically and, you know, it looks cool. since we're on the topic, though, of appearances, I know that wasn't the lack of visor basically boiled down to, like, LeVar Burton didn't want to wear this thing that he couldn't
I ain't
see through
doing
anymore.
This shit anymore.
which I'm like, I get that as an actor. I know that a lot of the people on the show had various, like, prosthetics or you know, the makeup or whatever. They're like, fucking A, like, I'll do it, but Jesus Christ. So I'm pretty sure that was the story behind Geordi's, you know, new eyes, but the blue contacts that they have him in are so weird looking and otherwise, like, he looks great. Like, he handsome man.
They all
like,
do.
They all look great, but those blue contacts are just so creepy.
Well, especially when they have that little moment where they, like, focus, like, zzz, zzz,
yeah.
Like, that's weird looking.
Like, Geordi, please like, put your visor back on.
I gotta imagine in that moment when he's standing with Riker and they're looking for Zeff from Cockrum who's run off. Like, I gotta imagine Riker's thinking, like, Geordi, look, if you're gonna do that thing with the eyes, could you just put your visor on or maybe just tell me so I could look away?
Geordi, could you just, like, keep wearing these sunglasses? Because, like,
it's freaking me out, dude.
And it's pretty loud, too.
I get it. They do look a little weird at times, but I mean, I get where LeVar Burton's coming from. Sure. It's like, can I please? It's the future.
I've been wearing
they can't give
these,
me future eyes.
The visor for
I'm doing
how
reading
many years?
Rainbow now. I'm hot.
Yeah. Do you guys realize how hot I am?
But yeah, I mean, there's some fun action sequences in this. Again, I really enjoy that scene when they, again, I guess it gets back into what I was mentioning earlier of like the plot in this movie not making any sense, like the Borg plan. And this has been said in many places before, but it's like, why would they, if their whole plan presumably is to go back in time, why would they go right up to Earth and, you know, get the shit kicked out of them and then go back in time then? Why not go back in time anywhere else in the galaxy where they're not getting attacked and then go to Earth?
Go back to like... Before, well, I guess they wanted humans, and they wanted humans. Maybe they wanted humans at a certain point in their development, because they're assimilating humans, right? That's like the thing, is they want to assimilate humans. So maybe it's like, hey, there's the most people ever here right now, and this is like their evolutionary stage we want, and like they have existing technology we can assimilate that's like at the level that we, the best level we can get. I think you can explain that.
I think it's still a very silly like setup, but
it's silly. Well, but like I think you can explain why then and not like AD zero or something or like the Empire or whatever, you know.
Well, no, I just mean like if their plan was to assimilate Earth and or go back in time to assimilate Earth, like why risk getting their ship destroyed invading Earth in the present? you know, and to then go back in time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, that doesn't. That doesn't make any sense.
And then there's also the bit of, like, was it her plan all along to seduce Data into becoming her boy toy? Or did she just kind of wing that? Like, ooh,
she
what
was
do you
like,
well,
okay, you got an answer.
Well, now that you're here.
Because you would think, like, you know, they have assimilated Picard before, so they know what he knows, so they would have known about Data.
Yeah, you're right. They would know everything about Data. So that was...
Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. And again, it's baffling because this, like you mentioned before at the start, this it's not like this movie was written by, like, you know, people outside of Trek. This was written by Ronald D. Moore and I think Brandon Braga.
Story by Rick Berman, too.
Yeah, Rick Berman, yeah. These were all people that worked on TNG and wrote some of the best episodes. And
I don't think it's like they couldn't do it. I think they were trying to do something different. And stuff like
yeah.
It becomes that problem of, like, a lot of video game movies, I feel like, fall into this trap where it's like, or I think it's the reason why a lot of video game movies are bad is because it's like, well, we can't do the video game for a movie. We have to do something different. And then you end up doing this thing that's like, the fans of the original thing are like, this doesn't really remind me of the original thing. And if you're not a fan of the original thing, you just don't even care about it in the first place. Yeah. Like, I don't think this is gonna, I mean, it did well, I guess. Maybe we should talk about that. Like, as much as we're saying this, like, maybe being negative, like, didn't this movie do really well?
It did. Well, okay. Well, I actually kind of disagree with what you guys said earlier. I think that it does manage to hit that broader audience in the fact that it is kind of a dumb action movie in that. And you know, honestly, like, I don't think you really have to have seen Next Generation going into this because, like we said, no. They spend so little time on setup. It's like 5 minutes in. It's like the Borg are attacking. They got to go. So it's just like I think they did everything they could to try to pull in the broadest audience they could and to dumb it down as much as they could to bring in everyone.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's enough fun action for it. Like, this isn't like a Die Hard or like, or even a Die Hard 3, you know, in the way that it's like doing the action stuff. There's kind of one at the end. I mean, there's cool effects. Like, this movie does have cool effects and like, it's watchable. Like, it's breezy, but I don't think it really delivers on like the cool action stuff too much.
It delivers enough, at least for me. I wasn't let down by the action. I think it still holds up, at least as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's the best part of the movie, I think, is the action. I think it could have been trimmed. Overall, the movie could have been trimmed up a little bit. I feel like I say that all the time nowadays. I'm just like, could have been shorter.
What would you say, though, are like the cool action sequences?
Well, like I mentioned, the sequence on the whole, like on the outside of the bridge is fun. And then, of course,
okay,
there's
that's cool.
The opening and assault on Earth when the ships are flying around. And I really like the way it's done because, as you can tell, they're still kind of using models here and there. Yeah. Like, it's models flying around, which looks really cool.
It looks, like I said, like the effects look good. Like, I think they're some of the best effects that we've seen.
Yeah. And I think kind of where it gets a little goofy is when. Well, like maybe you're right, Mike. All the other action, because they run into this problem with the next movie. These are not—they're great actors, but they're not great action stars.
Yeah, when I think of like the action scenes on this, I think of a lot of Picard seeing about a third of his body hanging on to something. Surely, yes. You just know. Offhand, he's being held up. He is not holding on to any of these things.
Yeah, all of these are. Talented actors have obviously a great like chemistry as a cast and have worked together for so long, but like by the time we get to the movies, all of these people are in their like 30s to 40s to above.
And
it's an age-old problem with Star Trek. Like anytime they try to put the show's cursed. Anytime they try to put like hand-to-hand combat, it's just ridiculous.
I need Star Trek combat to be ridiculous is the thing. I
need
it to
like,
be double punch Kirk, like something stupid as shit.
The spear with like two foam things on the either end.
It harkens back to like, I mean, TOS obviously of the like, the over the top like stage combat and like the makeup and everything where like, you know, TV is still a new thing and people won't be able to like see the
scenes.
They're watching this on 13-inch screens.
Exactly.
With
it may as well
over the air transmission.
It may as well be on like a stage from like 50 to 100 feet away.
Some people are watching it in color. Other people are watching it in black and white.
Yeah, so you're like, who cares if the fist is clearly not connecting with...
or if it's clearly a stuntman.
No one's going to be watching this in, like, high def.
What is that even?
On a huge television screen. How could they even make one that big?
Well, and they were saying that in 1987 when Next Generation came out. That's why they didn't care about things like if stuff looked a little crappy in the background or...
Why would it matter?
Yeah, no one's going to be pausing on this stuff.
Yeah, no losers are going to like obsessively...
Riker from the future wasn't there to be like, one day you will invent a 4K television.
Like, a what K? What?
The whites will be so bright. The black, so black.
Picture so clear.
We'll see all of your eyeliner.
So I guess it's kind of give and take. Like there is some good action in it. Like when it's not them, roaming the ship. And I mean, I guess it is kind of cool to see Data pick up a Borg and throw him across the room, I suppose. But
Yeah. I don't need Brent Spiner to be an action star. I don't need but. If they had fun, that's great. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, again, maybe it could be trimmed up a bit. It would be a big thing I would say about this movie. But like you said, the Zefram C angle is fun. He's a good actor. One of the moments that gets me the most in this movie is when they pilot the warp ship, it goes into warp, and then it comes out of warp, and the music swells up, and they turn around back to look at Earth, and it's all tiny, and Zefram Cochran's like,
is that Earth?
That's it.
It's so small.
It's about to get a whole lot bigger.
So small. I love that scene where this, or I think it's even before they get to warp, where he like just looks out at the Earth from space, and he's like, oh, wow. And you're just like, oh, no matter how cynical, an alcoholic you are, this will blow your mind.
Yeah, I like that. And I really like, I think it's almost like worth this movie being so goofy to have that first contact scene at the end. When you find out, who do they make first contact with? It's the Vulcans.
It's our buddies, the Vulcans.
So this is my big problem with the movie.
You hate Vulcans?
Oh, we arrived. All right. I'm interested in it.
So this was my first time seeing it, right? And I didn't really know anything about it other than, oh, they make first contact. And I was thinking, I was so stoked. And I was thinking this movie was going to be, I was looking forward to this because I was thinking that's cool. The movie must be about like what happens when humanity meets the aliens for the first time. And like, is there going to be like a standoff? Is there going to be like a escalation to war? And maybe eventually they get talked down to the brink of it and learn to like reconcile it. Like what's this? There's so many interesting ways you can go about it. And then it's just like a thing that's like 5 seconds at the end of this movie where it's like, oh, by the way, first contact. Wow. Aliens. Okay. Like,
they also had some tequila and listened to music together. So
I was sold a bill of goods with the movie title is what I'm saying.
I could see where you're coming from. And I agree. I never really thought about that.
Star Trek, the Borg attack or something.
Yeah. It's like the movie is called First Contact, but that doesn't come into play until the very end.
I mean, it's what they're trying to make happen or like allow to happen.
Yeah. It's in the background kind of,
But I would love the, I don't know if such a thing exists. My heart tells me it should. Some like super nerdy, like novelization of like immediately post first contact of just like Zefram hanging out with the Vulcans and them being like, I see, and this is tequila.
There's a really good, so there's the video game series Mass Effect, which is very Star Trek-y. And there's like a really cool first contact, like kind of thing in that lore where like humans around the same time, actually, like in this, they meet like another species, the first alien, like smart alien species called the Turian, who are like a, kind of like a very hierarchical lizard people, basically. And they get into a war, like both of them, like a mutual war that's like pretty evenly matched and is being, it's like a big thing. Like, and then like that attracts the attention of like the Galactic Federation, and they like swoop in and are like, hey guys, you're just freaking out because you're two species meeting each other for the first time, but there's a whole other, like, just chill. And basically, like, they come in to diffuse the situation, and they, like, go on to coexist and are both absorbed together into, like, the Galactic Society. It's just one of many interesting ways you could have gone with this.
You know, honestly, I think the best story they... Oh, my God. It just occurred to me as you were saying that, like, you know, how great a Star Trek story could have been. There was already a great Star Trek story called First Contact. It was in The Next Generation, and the episode was called First Contact.
is that the one where we start with, like, Riker in alien disguise, like, yeah, going to the hospital, and they're like, This is an alien.
He doesn't have six toes.
I that's a great episode. It's you get a similar scene with that we get with Alfre Woodward of Picard, like, showing someone, like, this is, you're looking at your planet, yeah, from space.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
They do the same thing in this episode of First Contact and Next Generation. It's such a better story because it's just like, it's basically answering the question, like, how would a civilization, you know, react to finally, to figuring out, like, oh God, we're not alone in the universe. Yeah. They're contacting us and asking us if we want to join this federation or whatever. And then ultimately, spoilers, at the end of that episode, the president of that world says, no, we're not ready yet. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff that happens I won't get into, but he just says, no, we're, like, not ready yet.
They go to, like, you know, in some board or some room of, like, different voices being like, well, we have to do this. It's like, no, we have to try this. And it's like, yeah, there's turmoil. There's
you can
a lot
even
of-
still have your Borg stuff. Like, what if, like, they, what if this movie is about, like, you know, the Vulcans show up and, like, kind of deal with, like, all that stuff of, like, standoffish and, like, maybe it's escalating and maybe, like, the Borg show up and there's something with the Borg where, like, they band together to, like, stop the Borg or something. And I don't know. There's so many things you could have done with this that are more interesting than what they did.
Perhaps.
And
the Vulcans are, like, not a warring race, though. So
it's just like it.
If I may just push up my glasses.
There's, like, ideas, I guess. There's is ideas. What I'm, maybe I should, to be more positive about it. It's like there are ideas here that you feel like, oh, you could have done this or, like, but it kind of, like, It's just not interested in, like, that kind of story.
It's interested in being an action movie.
To be fair,
get to the tube of gas and people
melt. Yeah, what if we puncture the gas tube and the Borg Queen's face melts?
And it's also baffling that a tube filled with, like, you know, face eating radiation can just be smashed with a fist. I mean, granted, it was Data.
Here, you know, should we put this away?
Data, but, yeah, it's like, wouldn't this be shielded somehow?
Yeah, it probably would be. I was like, maybe but you can't, but
it's
I don't know.
It's a silly, silly movie.
It's an action movie, but yeah. And to be fair,
it's very
honestly,
Joel Schumacher Batman. Like, there's a glass a tube bit, next yeah. to the bad guy.
You know, it's to speak about to the First Contact scene. I get what you're saying. It can be unsatisfying, but I think a lot of the heavy lifting of that moment and why it works for me is done by the score. I think the score for this movie,
it's not bad.
From Jerry Goldsmith, is really, really good.
It's very. It feels like it has, like, gravitas to it.
Yes, I think
it's like that is doing a good service, because without that, this movie could feel like very.
Oh yeah, you
more
get
silly.
You get the score with gravitas. You get James Cromwell. Like, you'll carry some stuff.
And also Lily, like you said, that I like that character. She's fun, and she again, that's sort of the one little seed of what could have been fun. You know, yeah, that's what made Voyage Home fun, was that they're interacting with people of that time period. And those are the fun bits in this movie, and I think Lily is the funnest of that aspect.
And you get that that groundedness of a character who is, you know, the most similar to the audience in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Of you're just like. That would be crazy if you discovered all at once that, you know, there's a bunch of stuff out there, including time travel.
Yeah, and again, that scene when they're all saying goodbye and she's like, I envy you, this world you're going to, and you got that beautiful Goldsmith score underneath. Again, I'll admit it, I well up a little bit when that scene comes up and she says goodbye because they went through this adventure together and you have this great score underneath. Maybe it's not justified, but again, that score and the acting kind of lifts it up.
You don't have to justify welling up at a beautiful score.
I will say it like I've said this before in the podcast. I teared up when we saw the Millennium Falcon in Force Awakens.
You fucking nerd.
So I'm an easy target.
Yeah. Teared up for different reasons at Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. It can't end this way. Not like this.
Not like this.
Well, did you guys have any? I mean, it sounds like I didn't really have a ton of notes on this one because, again, it is sort of just sort of an action movie. There's not much to it. There's no, yeah. It's not really saying anything like a lot of the great TNG episodes. It's an action movie.
It's a fun watch if you're a fan of the series.
Sure, yeah.
It's like breezy.
My one thing I have to say is a million years ago on Tumblr, there was this one like comic artist who I followed, and she did like graphic novel stuff. Really good artist. She also had a second account for like not safe for work stuff, and the name of that account was Zephram Cockering. So that's all I could hear every single time they said his name.
Thanks for sharing that.
That's my that was good. On my mind, and I was waiting for the perfect moment for that, of me saying the word cock ring.
Is that Zephram Cochran's porn star name?
Absolutely it is.
Bold of him to use the same first name.
He's like, well, my first name's too cool to do anything else.
Yeah, Zephram. Zephram.
What's a future name?
Zephram. I think they nailed it.
I got it. They got it in one.
Tiberius? I don't know.
Tiberius is also very good. My other note, I'll say, I think we were robbed by not being able to see the scene of Troy getting drunk with Zephram in order to get info out of him, and him just being have another shot, baby. Let's listen to some music. And her being like,
what do you mean you don't have any chocolate ice cream? What kind of place is this?
What kind of bar is fine? Give me another shot. I would love to see that
scene. You have a replicator?
What the hell? What was this? I like this music. Yeah. Tell me more about it.
We don't have the time.
Don't have the time.
Well, any other closing thoughts on First Contact, or should we get into recommendations?
It's time for recommendations.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think this movie does enough to appeal to a broader audience as an action movie. I'd recommend it on that level. If you're a diehard fan of, if you're a fan of Star Trek, chances are you've already seen this movie. So there's, I've never heard of this. Yeah. Well, unless you're Mike and somehow never seen it. Let me say that if you're a Mike and you've never seen this movie, but you love TNG, I might actually not recommend it because it would
not very good.
That's the only way I would recommend it. Oh. I would not recommend this unless you're a fan of TNG.
Oh, interesting.
Because
okay.
While I don't think it delivers on the TNG stuff, I think it's like there's enough of the characters there to be like, oh, it's fun. It feels like fan fiction in a way.
I just think if you go into it with that expectation,
it's fine.
That's a fair assessment. I do not recommend it. But I do recommend the TNG episode First Contact, yes, as well as the Star Trek movie Voyage Home.
Definitely.
You like time travel? I gotcha. You like First Contact stories? I gotcha.
I mean, I would definitely recommend Best of Both Worlds over this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely,
Best of Both Worlds two-parter. Yeah, you like Borg? We got your bases covered.
I would recommend the Irish Sexy Ghost episode over.
I would go that far.
That episode's fun.
That's if you want to have a good time, not a long time. Not a long time.
Well, all right. Well, guys, I think, is this our third voyage, I think? This is the conclusion of... second or third go round?
Wow. Oh, tour of duty.
Which lap we're on?
I think it's our second lap because the last time we did Generations, right?
That's
was kind of the conclusion of the run, and then this is the end of our second run.
Wow. We've seen so much.
And yet there's still so much to see.
There's still so much to see. There always is.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the end of our second run. The third run, as usual, we'll start with, we'll go back to season one to TNG. What's happening? What's going on with this thing? I don't know. The simulator's shaking. Oh, my God.
Oh, dang. Oh.
Well, we appear to be caught in some sort of temporal flux.
Oh, God!
Done! What the... Whoa. Hey, hold on! Whoa. Whoa. Mike, hold on. Let me get a time reading. Let me get the time... Star date... What? Oh, my God. Guys...
What is it, Captain?
We've gone back in time. We're in the original series era.
What, the original series?
TOS?
It's a season one episode, but it's not season one TNG. It's the original series. It's Space Seed.
I can't remember which one that is, but I'm sure it's great.
I'll give you a clue. Come!
Oh, yep. Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
When the Trekcast returns, we'll be back in time with the original series. I'll figure out a way to close this later.
I love your chat.
To be continued.